thank you for coming today and braving the cold and being with us. I think we've turned the corner. It sure looks like it to me. I checked the weather this morning, and when I checked it, it said 5 below, but I heard others just say it was only 1 below, so I don't know which was right, but whatever it was, it's getting warmer. It's supposed to be up to 32 degrees tomorrow, and I'm giving you a report. It's supposed to be 48 on Thursday. It's supposed to be 96 in August. But I'm glad you're able to be here, and I've been looking forward to today for a number of reasons. One is that we're starting a new series today on the Ten Commandments, and I've been thinking about it for several months and thinking about this morning in this service, and I have enjoyed thinking about a series that focuses on God's authority. And the Ten Commandments are a part, a piece, a place that I believe as Christians are an important thing for us to hold on to and embrace. And both in the authority of God and the giving of the Ten Commandments and in the particulars of the Ten Commandments, I believe that they are important to us. I know that across the church and across the body of Christ, and there are a lot of different perspectives about the Ten Commandments and how people feel about them. And so I really am wanting to express what I see and I believe is important about the Ten Commandments and call our church to, I know in some ways it's like preaching to the choir, I know that, but also to call us to the particulars of the Ten Commandments and individually what they say to us as Christians, what they say to us as those who want to honor God with our lives. Certainly outside of the body of Christ, the authority of God is under attack. It is in so many different areas and ways, and certainly in the area of the Ten Commandments, we see them under attack. The Ten Commandments, of course, are found together twice in the Bible, the book of Exodus chapter 20 and then the book of Deuteronomy. They're listed all together at that time, but I also see the Ten Commandments throughout the Bible, both Old and New Testament, found and individually in places, certainly affirmed by different stories and other commandments and other words, both in the Old Testament of the prophets and the Psalms and the Proverbs, and then certainly throughout the New Testament, we find so many references to the Ten Commandments. And so I really, in this series, I want to make a case for the importance of the Ten Commandments today in our lives. What are we going to teach our children? What are we going to tell them is right and wrong if the Ten Commandments are not something that we believe God has expressed that we should hold on to? How do we teach right and wrong to our children? How do we teach the next generation of what's important to the heart of God? I certainly believe that the Ten Commandments are a foundational piece, not the only piece, but an important foundational piece of the authority of God for our lives as Christians, as people who believe in the Bible and believe in the authority of God's Word. We believe that God has expressed Himself. And so we take these commandments as well as the law of Moses and decide, how do we apply them to our lives? In what way are they meaningful today? We're not Jews. We don't live in the Holy Land. We don't live in Palestine. We're not under that authority of God in the same way as the Old Testament Jewish people and Israelites were. So it is very different than when they were given. And so how do we still understand them? How do we apply them? Are they important to us? So that's the question really for today and for us to think about is, what about today for us as Christians? Are they authoritative? Are they out of date? Do we need to go back to them and look for the richness and depth of each of the commandments? I believe so. In what way do they apply to us today? These are the questions that are on my mind as we take 11 weeks and cover the 9 commandments. I hope that as we look at each one of them, we'll see in them the depth of what God has to... Oh, I mean, yeah, 9 commandments. I get them mixed up. Is it 10 or 9? What is it? Anybody know? How many commandments are there? 12. Good answer. How many commandments are there? In the Bible, how many commandments are there? It's 642. Is it 10? Is it 12? Is it 2? Is it 1? Or does God not really have commandments anymore for us? I mean, how do we look at God's Word? How do we look at what we read in there? Are they commandments? Or are they mere suggestions? Or are they just kind of guidelines and, you know, take them as you will in the culture and the language you're at? And just how do we look at the 9 commandments? I mean, 10, you said? Bob, you said 10? That must be 10 then. I'm thinking 9. But, well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in about five weeks or so, 6 weeks maybe. There are so many different perspectives about the Ten Commandments out there. Within the church and outside of the church, the Ten Commandments. What do they say to us? Are they important today? We know that they're broken continuously. All you have to do is listen to the news every night at 6 o'clock or whenever and hear the world report and the local report, and much of what the news is about the brokenness of the Ten Commandments. You think about everything that we hear and we see and we read about. We read about greed, we read about coveting, we read about stealing, we read about murder, about adultery. And that's not even really going into the first 3 commandments that are so directly about the authority of God and how we respect God and how we view this infinite, eternal, amazing God in heaven. The Ten Commandments have been rejected by political correctness, I'm afraid to say, in our own country. In a country that had many roots founded on the principles of the Ten Commandments. Any association with God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in our country is becoming a reason to reject anything that's said of the authority of God. Why is that? Why are the Ten Commandments under attack politically? I mean, when you think of the Ten Commandments, I can't imagine that any of us today would make a case that the Ten Commandments are ill-advised. They're not bad. Maybe not authoritative to us, and I'm taking that on as part of this series, but none of us would say, well, hey, it's great if we steal. You know, it's okay to murder. We think that. Now, we live in a world where sin has carried the Ten Commandments, of course, have fought against the Ten Commandments, but out there, we think about the meaning and the good things about the Ten Commandments, but we see that they're absolutely under attack. Why is that? Well, one thing is we live in a world of spiritual evil. We live in a spiritual world. We live in a world of conflict between good and evil, between spiritual forces in high places. And the Bible warns us about the deceptiveness and about how the deceiver will come and lead many astray. Sin of anything that dishonors God is from Satan, and the temptations that are really covered in the Ten Commandments should cause us to step back and say, why? Why are these under attack? Why is it that the Ten Commandments are being rejected by the political community, the educational community, and so much that exists around us in our culture? But that's one thing to think about the politics and think about the educational institutions, another thing. But what especially I want us to focus on is, what about you and I? Why are they important to us? What do they mean to us? Are they treasure to us? Do we see them as this great gift from God that is relevant today? And we should embrace deeply in our minds, our hearts, and our attitudes. Are they somehow outdated and don't apply, or apply to a different age? Was it really for just a certain time and place? I'm reminded that the 9 commandments begin with these words from Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, that says, "And God spoke all these words." Everything that comes after that. I just want to be reminded today that when we read the scriptures, and especially we read this word and this verse, "And God spoke all these words." Now, you might say, well, when did that particular verse apply to? Was it just a certain number of things that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai, or is it all that Moses brought down? And I think that's a good question. But let's be reminded about the Bible. God spoke all these things. We say we believe in the authority of Scripture. As Nazarenes, we say that we believe that the Scriptures are inspired by God. God breathed into the men who wrote the Scriptures from different languages and some different cultures and different places, but we believe that every word of the Scriptures are authoritative to us. Now, how they're authoritative is what we wrestle with and we try to decide. God spoke all these words. The law of God, the law of Moses in its entirety, came from the heart of God. So let's start with the Ten Commandments with that in mind. They are from the heart of God. You might wonder, well, what does our church believe about the Ten Commandments? And I want you to know what our manual and what we believe about the Ten Commandments as a Church of the Nazarene. We hold that the Ten Commandments, reaffirmed in the New Testament, constitute the basic Christian ethic and ought to be obeyed in all particulars. That comes from the collective conscience of the Church of the Nazarene and what we say and we believe and we teach about the Ten Commandments, how we weigh them as important. The Church of the Nazarene has had this statement as part of its doctrine for a long time. Well, why do we as a church believe that they are still important for us today? That's the case I want to make today. What is special about them? And why should we embrace them as Gentiles? Some people say, well, if we were Jews and we were living in Palestine, then that law, the law of Moses, was for that time and that place. And there's certainly merit to that. So why today, living in a different continent, should we embrace the Ten Commandments? Why should they be authoritative? What is special about them that apply to us today? Even not as Jews, but as Gentiles. I like for us to consider them as a whole, and then over the next 10 weeks or so, each one on its own. Number one, I want to say the Ten Commandments are very wise. They're very wise. They go deep to the heart of man. I don't think you need to be a Christian to know that and see that and believe that. You can be from any number of cultures and languages and people groups around the world, and you would probably agree that the Ten Commandments are very wise. They're very discerning about human nature. When I think about the problems of man, even that you see in the news, most of them can be boiled down to a violation of one of the Ten Commandments. They are very comprehensive. They consider the tendencies and the weaknesses of human nature. When God gave the Ten Commandments, He was giving it to a broken mankind. He was giving it to a people that He wanted to be His own, to raise them up, to be a light to the world, and to be to lead us to who Jesus would be when He came with grace and salvation. God gave the Ten Commandments to a broken people because we needed it. We needed to understand in nuts and bolts the heart of God. And so though to us they may seem very obvious today, in the world that they were given may not have been. They are very perceptive. They are very comprehensive to the spiritual needs. And they also address very much the temptations of the human heart. When you think of each one of the Ten Commandments individually, what is it that God is telling us to be careful about? What is it that God is trying to save us from? What is it that God is trying to prepare us for in the Ten Commandments? When we hear them and we begin to weigh them, we see that God is trying to tell us about truth, about who we are in our human nature, and who an infinite, awesome, holy God is. Every one of them are tied to something inside of us that we may not realize or understand, but the Ten Commandments help us to see that and to feel that. Many of the Ten Commandments are found in other ancient cultures, and that would make sense to me. They're principles that are true and real, and when God brought them together in the book of Exodus, for Moses, He was bringing truth together to guide the ethics of His people, to guide relationship. The Ten Commandments are about relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with other people. And so when you begin to think deeply about them, what is it about relationship that God is saying is sacred, is special, is important? Of course, the first four commandments are about more specifically our relationship with God and how we see Him and how we perceive Him, how we honor Him, how we respond to Him. And boy, they're deep. Every single one of them are so important. And then the next six are about our relationships with people. And if we would follow them, if we would hear them in our hearts, then our relationships would be better and better and pure and poor and cleaner and so much more what God wants them to be in our world. The Ten Commandments are not an exhaustive list of do's and don'ts. You can follow the Ten Commandments exactly, but be far from the heart of God. You can use them as a rule book, and well, if you do, then you will be following the heart of God, but you can kind of externally say, I'm gonna do this, but if your heart's not right, then you're not right with God. But they will guide you. They are guides. They help us to understand how we're to feel, how we're to think, how we are to respond. They are a strong foundation to hearing the heart of God, hearing the Word of God. I can't think of how we can do any better. I guess I want to challenge people and say, well, they're really not any good anymore. To, why don't you come up with 10? What would you come up with? What is it you would say would be better than what we have? I mean, there's some specific things that, you know, technology and all bring us decisions every generation, you know, that you might, well, that's not in the Bible. But if you take the principles of the Ten Commandments, it really does cover, I believe, just about every moral question we have. I really believe that. If you take a problem, a conundrum, a decision, a question about right and wrong, and you think about it in terms, what does one of the commandments say? I think it does cover. I don't know what else we would do better, but, you know, maybe you have some thoughts or some ideas about that. What would you say if you were God? Well, this is what God gave us. He did give it to us. He gave it to us at this place and at this time, 3,500 years ago or so, He gave us the Ten Commandments. I don't know how we can do any better. And I think as parents out there, how can we do better teaching our children? What is it that we should teach them that's better than the Ten Commandments as far as the authority of God and the existence of God for that matter? The existence of God, that He exists, that He reveals Himself, that He gives us His direction, His guidance, His relationship. So one thing I would say is, are these important to teach to our children? I think most of us say, yes, they are. They're important. Children have formed in them a basic of the authority of God. And the Ten Commandments are a good place to do that. And in the basics of society, as I said before, they've been under attack. Should we be surprised by that? Should we be surprised that the Ten Commandments have been under attack? I mean, prayer in schools, under attack. You know, you can say a lot of things about it, why it was and how. And, you know, were we really praying anyway? There's a lot of good questions about prayer in school. But, you know, we often look back and say how terrible it was. You know, we don't read the Bible in school anymore. The political correctness movement, removing them from the courthouses. I lived in Chester County, Pennsylvania for my second pastorate, and while I was there, they took down the Ten Commandments from Chester County Courthouse. Beautiful. Why? Why? Is it more than just a culture? Is it spiritual warfare that's there? Who's behind that? Is it an attack on the authority and respect for God? Specifically, I want to give you some reasons that reinforce the authority in my mind of the Ten Commandments. Let's think about, first of all, how they were given. I've mentioned that the words that come before them, and if you want to open your Bible to Exodus chapter 20, you'll see those words. And God spoke these words. The first thing that I'll say about how the Ten Commandments were given is they were given first of all the commandments that God gave to Moses. So they were first. If you count all the commandments in the Bible, and there are a lot of them, the first 10 are what we find here and call the the Ten Commandments. They came following God's very specific directions on Mount Sinai. I mean, they come, and I'll just kind of summarize this. They came after God said to Moses, tell the people, do not come up on this mountain. This is a sacred and holy time. Tell them, do not allow your flocks to come up on the mountain. Anyone that comes past that certain line will be struck dead. I'm summarizing here. Why would God say that? What's that about? Don't let anyone except the one I say to come to the top, come to the top. If you do, they will be struck dead. Why? What's that tell us about God? What's that tell us about the importance of whatever happens next, which is the law of Moses? Not just the Ten Commandments, but all the laws. Well, it just tells us right away that this is important to the heart of God. There's something about that, the sacredness of the mountain, the instructions that God gave to Moses and to Aaron and the people, and how careful they were supposed to. Whatever we do with God's word, we better do it carefully, prayerfully, asking God, God, is this what you want for me? What is it that you want for me? Every one of us should do that because of the holiness of God, the preciousness of who God is. It was a holy mountain. It was a holy place. And God was giving his holy law. The second thing I want to say about the Ten Commandments especially is that the Ten Commandments were written on two stone tablets. I think, well, okay, they could have been written on anything, but why? I note about that. It's the only thing written on those two stone tablets. Not the rest of the laws, but two stone tablets. Whatever God said, Moses, twice, I want those to be on these tablets of stone. Why is that? Is that unique? Is that different? Is that something that we should hear about how important they are? They were written on tablets of stone. Small enough that Moses could carry them, but large enough to carry the 153 words that are part of the Ten Commandments. I understand in the Hebrew, 153 words are the Ten Commandments. If you're wondering how many are there. Tablets, large enough to hold that, but small enough that God could express those Ten Commandments in that place. The Ten Commandments carried by Moses. I did say also they were written on stone tablets twice. Why do I say that? Well, after the first time, you may remember Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and the people down at the bottom of the mountain gave up. They pretty much said, well, something happened to Moses, and apparently God killed him. So we got to create our own gods. What happens when you reject the authority of God? All kinds of ways to think come in there. And so they had Aaron build the golden calf, and they fashioned it, and they began to worship it. And when Moses finally did come down from the mountain, he's carrying two tablets, and he hears the revelry on the ground, and he comes to learn what it is, and he gets so angry, he takes the stone tablets, 10 laws, and he throws them down. They break. God brings judgment on the people. And after a time, Moses cries out to God, God, will you give us another chance? God, don't forget your people and your promise you made to Abraham. And God comes back and says, Moses, I will give you another chance. Come back up to the mountain, and I want you to hew two more stone tablets, and I will write on them the law of God. So he hews two stone tablets, and according to the scriptures, then God comes and he writes on them again. What does he write on them? He writes on them the Ten Commandments. Go to Exodus chapter 34. I want to read that text. Chapter 34, verse 1. Then Moses, I should give you a minute to find it there if you would like to. Exodus chapter 34, verse 1. I want you to listen to these words. I think they're important. I think they're significant. The Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain. Now go to verse 27. Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words, for in accordance with these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. He wrote on those tablets the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are written by the heart of God, and you would even say, as you look at the text in chapter 31, they're described, at least the first ones are described as written by the finger of God. Go back a few pages, chapter 31, verse 18. It says, when the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, this is the first time, he gave him the two tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. And so you have these tablets, uniquely the Ten Commandments, 153 Hebrew words, written by the finger of God. Certainly that should tell us how important they were then. The Ten Commandments are also reinforced in the New Testament. A lot of times people ask me about, well, what about the Ten Commandments in the New Testament? Why aren't they listed in the New Testament? I want to tell you how Jesus used the Ten Commandments and refer you to several places and stories that show us how important I believe the Ten Commandments were to Jesus himself. That Jesus makes references to the Ten Commandments are very clear. In fact, all ten of them can be found in the teaching of Jesus in one form or place or another. Consider first of all the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and what Jesus says there. You have the Beatitudes and other teaching and warnings, and then you come to this whole section, chapter 5, chapter 6, where Jesus quotes from the Ten Commandments and refers to them, I should say. For example, he says, you have heard it hath been said, thou shalt not kill, but I say unto you. And what does he do? He explains deeper and into a level much deeper than just simply taking a knife and stabbing someone. He talks about hatred. He talks about calling someone a fool. He talks about relationship. He's not discounting the commandment, he's explaining it in the need of the day and the culture in which he was teaching and living. He said, you have heard it hath been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, any man who looks at a woman with lust in his heart hath already committed adultery. Was he discounting the Ten Commandments? No, we would say absolutely not. He was saying, boy, you should know this. And you should go deeper in understanding the heart of God. You're trying to have this level, this outward level of obedience, but God wants your heart. The commandments are important. They have a depth to them, every one of them. And I hope that over these weeks we can look at the depth of these commandments and what God says to us about his authority. And on, he talks about letting your yes be yes and your no be no. I think also a reference to the name of God and not using it lightly, and many other places as well. He was affirming the commandments. He was explaining them. He was opening them up. He was giving a deeper spiritual meaning. And he does that in several places throughout his teaching. I believe for Jesus, it was so assumed in Jesus' mind that all the people would firmly embrace the Ten Commandments. He didn't need to say, obey the Ten Commandments. He needed to explain it to them deeper. This is why, this is what God means by this. They were a beginning point, a solid foundation for honoring God. Jesus affirmed all ten of them in his teaching. Some are very clear and others are about other stories that we draw out of them. Well, here's another thing to think about Jesus and the Ten Commandments. Remember the man, the rich young ruler found in both Matthew and Mark chapter 10. Turn to that if you would like to. I'm going to read a few verses from Mark chapter 10 and the story of the rich young ruler. Now look for and listen, if you would, what is Jesus saying about the Ten Commandments here? We kind of read this part real quick and then we're past it. And it's like, okay, now we go on to the meat. But listen to what Jesus is saying about the Ten Commandments here in Mark chapter 10. Look at verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That's the question.
what do I have to have eternal life. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. So what does Jesus say first? You know the commandments. Don't you? Do you? Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Well, there's half of them anyway. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. What was Jesus saying about the commandments? He said, oh, they're not important. Don't worry about them. I think what he was saying is the commandments are a basis to understand the heart of God and relationship with God. And if you understand them, if you follow them with your heart, then you are connected to God and you'll understand what love is. You'll understand what God wants from you. Yeah, you followed the five of these Ten Commandments. Yeah, Jesus, I think Jesus, reading between the lines, yeah, you got them covered. No problem, you've done them. Right across the top, boom, 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 boom. But your heart isn't right. Your heart isn't right. Sell everything you have and then come and follow me. Jesus began with the Ten Commandments. They weren't the entirety of God's law. There are other principles too, but they were so important and Jesus started with them. How do we know what sin is? We know when we hear the law of God. How do we know when we've fallen short, when we understand that we have violated the heart of God? The Ten Commandments are such a good place, I think, to take people to and help them to understand how they fall short of God's grace. The Ten Commandments are a way that God measures and God gives us to see and to measure. He gave the Ten Commandments because of our sin, because of our weakness. They're a schoolmaster, Paul talks about. The law is to bring us to Christ. By hearing the law of God, we hear where we fall short. And we also have the opportunity to tell people the message of grace and gospel when they understand where they have fallen short. And then one more point that I want to make this morning, and that is, teacher, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Teacher, Jesus asked, what is the greatest commandment? And this is important. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's not new. That wasn't Jesus' idea. That comes straight from Deuteronomy, the same chapter that gives us the Ten Commandments in the book of Deuteronomy, early Deuteronomy. Jesus said, love God with all that you are and love your neighbors. And then he said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The reality is the commandments of God are to help us to love him and to love people. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Not some of them. Everything God gave us throughout the law, throughout the scriptures are to help us to love God and others better. Our cultures are different. There's places and times when their applicability are different because of the culture that we're in. But every single one of the laws that God gives us in the Bible is to help us to love him more. To help his people, specifically the Jewish people, where they live, their land laws, their poverty laws, their laws of helping people, they were given to help them to love God and to love people more. It's about loving God and loving man. The Ten Commandments reinforce the law of love. The Ten Commandments, I believe, help us to see the heart of God. And so to honor them is to honor the principle of loving God. I mean, that's one way that God said, this is how we do it. This is how we keep our hearts clean, our attitudes, our minds, our spirits. When we keep ourselves clean in the eyes of God and his commandments, and then we grow stronger in our relationship to him. Jesus does all this all the time when he speaks of the commandments. I believe he's always speaking about loving God and loving man. Well, why should we embrace the Nine Commandments? Because they help us to love God more. That's the bottom line for me. Why should I keep the Ten Commandments? Because it helps me to love God more. It helps me to love people more. When I think about and go deeper into the concept of, for example, thou shalt not bear false witness. What's that about? It's about loving people. It's about caring deeply about other people and their needs and their hurts, their lives. Every single one of them is about loving people and loving God. They reinforce. That's the purpose of the law. Love always wins. You look for an acronym for law. Love always wins. Love is what God wants from us. He wants us to love Him with all that we are. The Ten Commandments are life-giving. They help us to relate to God. I believe they're timeless, and they're teachers to bring us to fellowship with God, life-giving.